Well, let's pray and then ask the Lord to bless today. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for every opportunity that we can come to understand a bit more from your word and what it means to have wisdom. We pray, dear Lord, that you will bless this time, continue to enlighten us to your word, to your truths. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will be with us in a special way. We pray that you also bless the programs that are coming up in October and November. May all these programs be a time where we can fellowship and we can build a sense of bond and be able, Lord, to understand further from your word. So we ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, today we come to the last part of Ecclesiastes 7, and I think Ecclesiastes 7 have been a time of learning quite a few things about, you know, having a good name is better than precious ointment, better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, better to be patient in spirit, so better, some of the things that we learned about how we can do better. God can straighten what is crooked, although it's stated it's not in Ecclesiastes. Seeing things from a biblical perspective, the day of prosperity, day of adversity, accepting paradoxes in life, fearing God in life, wisdom strengthens the wise. So there are many, many practical aspects about having wisdom. Okay? Now, we come to the next part, and towards the last part, we see Solomon admitting humbly that actually finding wisdom is not easy. Okay? And this is where he says, all this I have proven by wisdom. Okay? All this meaning wisdom, and he's trying to prove it by wisdom. So wisdom being proven by wisdom. Okay? So he's trying to test it out, trying to see whether he can attain wisdom to prove that wisdom is truly wise. Okay? So wisdom is a concept. Wisdom is something that you can understand and you can prove. So he sought to prove these things for himself, right? And I think that's something that we want to do for ourselves too, is more than just gaining more wisdom, understanding, being able to understand wise sayings. I think the challenge is for us at the end of the day to prove it for ourselves, right? To test it out. To apply these things into our life. And so he said, I said I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off, exceedingly deep, who can find it out? So this is his humble admission. He's saying that, no, it's not easy to be wise. I want to be wise. So he was sure that he will be wise. In fact, he is actually wise to quite an extent, because that was a gift that God had given him. And yet he humbly admits, that it's hard to find true wisdom. It's hard to be able to reach that kind of level of wisdom. So he concluded humbly that who can really find such wisdom? And during the week, I had a lot of dinners and lunches. And I had lunch with Ashley and Ashton. Parents are away. Asher. Trying to get all them right. Asher is overseas. He's on a scholarship. So he's studying in the UK. He will be there. Well, he'll be back in Christmas, but he'll be there for the next three years. Right. Can you recommend a good church, Weihan? So he's thinking of going to one of the churches there. And so I had lunch with Ashton and Ashley, and then I was talking along the way and I was asking her how's school, because she's studying law now. And she was saying, wow, you know, it's like a total different realm altogether. She was saying that the people there are so smart, you know. It's the way they discuss things. It's a different realm. It's different from JC, right? It's a totally different thing. And she was saying that a lot of us, they all know what's happening. They know their stuff. But, wow, she was saying that actually there are a few of them, when they answer or they interact, it really goes beyond, wow, this is very impressive. So she said, wow, this is totally different realm altogether. And you know, it's not easy to find that kind of wisdom, right? And you know, Solomon admitted humbly, and I think it's good for us to humbly admit, right, that actually sometimes we're not as wise as we think we are. And I appreciate Solomon, at least he admits he is not as wise. Okay, who can find it? Now, saying that, the next part, he goes on to say, I apply my heart to know, to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things. Okay, so he goes some, you know, so he finds it very hard, he humbly admits, and yet he's undeterred, he still wants to seek out and to find out and to know too. So this is a heartfelt commitment to look for wisdom. So he's not dissuaded from attempting to look for it. There is this genuine application of his whole heart into this, to know, to seek, to search, to seek out, to understand, to search generally, to putting even more effort into trying to understand the wisdom and the reason of things. Okay? To know the wickedness of folly, foolishness, and madness. Now, the word madness doesn't mean, the idea of being mad. Of course, the idea here is like, wow, this is great. You know, sometimes your expression is, wow, this is really crazy. Right? So it's the same kind of expression. It's something that, wow, is really, really challenging, out of this world. You know, why is people doing all these crazy, foolish things? That's what it's meant. Right? During the week, there was this man by the name of Charlie Kirk, and he was assassinated. 31 years old, not much older than some of you. Right? Any of you 30 years old already? 29? Weihan, how old were you? 28, okay. You're 29, right? Not much older than you. 31 years old. And assassinated. They call this a political assassination. Right? We were learning about how the righteous die young in their righteousness. Well, this is an example. And he was, okay, well, I don't totally agree with some of the things he says, but he was fighting for faith, actually. He was trying to engage people, and he was standing up for his faith in the Lord. He wants to be known for his courage to stand up for his faith. So, well, on one hand, some of the things we don't totally agree, but on the other hand, I mean, you've got to admire that he really tries to put his faith into practice in some ways, right? Well, he's a very ardent, supporter of Trump, so I don't agree with that. But at least you look at him and how he stands up for certain things, for faith, for being a Christian. And yet, you really ask, why would someone assassinate him? Right? What's the point? You see the wickedness behind such folly. Why would someone do such thing? Can someone hate so much that he will kill another person? And of course, this is with reference to the left wing and the right wing, extreme left and extreme right, and they really hate each other. And I don't know, the country one day will go back to civil war. I think there was recently a movie about America going back to civil war. And you ask yourself, what? The reason? Why? Why would someone do such a thing? You know, the wickedness behind such folly, foolishness. Why? Why would someone kill like that? And it's really astounding, right? And so here we see Solomon raising such questions. Okay, now the next part, I think the ladies would find it a bit not so good. Anyway, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So he says, all this I have proved by wisdom.
Yeah.
Suggesting that he has already proven it. I mean, he thinks that he has proven everything that.
Yeah, he thinks.
So is that correct?
He's not that he has truly understood it. It's just that that's what he says he's trying to do. Because then he admits also that he doesn't understand everything, isn't it? Right? So the word proof is to test it out. I've tested by wisdom. So wisdom is being tested or being proven by wisdom. It doesn't mean that he really understands everything. He's testing out all these things. And then as he tests out all these things, he realized that actually he doesn't know a lot of wisdom, right? He's still lacking. Same thing, like for many of you, sometimes you think, okay, I really know the Bible. But then when you really study it, I don't really know it. And for me, even after studying the Bible for the last 30 years, as I go into the Greek, so I'm taking the time every day to take a bit of time, 15, 20 minutes to translate a verse. And the more I look at it, it's like opening up a new world to understanding the Bible. It's like, wow. You know, it's like, wow, this is truly astounding. So one thing I've learned during the week, let me just share with you. In the Bible, in Greek, there's this thing called the genitive. Son of righteousness or son of God. Of God is called a genitive. Right? Then you can have, so there's a genitive. And then you have this thing called the adjective. So you can have hope of glory. Right? Hope of glory. Or you can use an adjective called glorious hope. Right? So the hope and glory is a genitive, and the adjective can be a glorious hope. Right? Which one more powerful? Which one is a stronger word? A genitive or an adjective? You see? It's very interesting. So the only way I found out, that's interesting. When you use a genitive, it means something. When you use an adjective, it's in English, it's the same translation, but in the Greek, it's a separate thing. So, Wishan, any study English? You study English? No. Who study English here? Nobody. So, Wishan, stronger. Okay, Stanley, what do you think? Yes, the genitive is a stronger idea. It's a very interesting thing. The genitive idea is more stronger than an adjective idea. So I found out that way as I was studying Greek. Okay? So, straight away the whole thing opens up. Right? So basically he is proven, but it doesn't mean he understands it. He's testing things out, or at least he thinks he's testing things out. Right? But he doesn't understand everything still. Right? The more you try to understand, the more you search it out, the more you realize, actually I'm so lacking in wisdom. There's so much more to understand. Which he's realizing at this point of time. Right? You can you see in Ecclesiastes 7? He's realizing that, there's still so much that he doesn't understand. Does that answer your question?
I think my question is more that if he's already said that he has proven by wisdom, then what follows after that seems to be a recounting of the process by which he proved it by wisdom.
Sure.
Meaning to say, like, he said, okay, I prove it by wisdom. But then when I first started out, I said I would be wise, but it was far from me. So
yeah.
At least it seems like it's a reflection of his
Yeah, of course, definitely. Journey. Definitely, it is his search, he's trying to find out. But then as he seeks to find out, he still cannot fully understand. He's still lacking in wisdom. Right? Okay, look. So this idea of finding, okay, it comes across in this passage. right? Who can find it out? I applied my heart to know, to search, to seek out the reason of things, to know the wickedness. And I find more bitter than death. Verse 27, here is what I have found. Verse 29, truly this only I have found. Can you see? Right? So the next three things, this is what he has found. Right? And three things with reference to women. which is not very nice. He has a very, not a very good approach to how he sees women. Now, right, Stanley, can you see? He's recounting the things that he has found. Right? I find more bitter than death. So he has found, okay, this is his, one of the things he has found out. And sometimes when you find something, the way he concludes, there's a sense of bitterness to it. Now, you notice in chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's a sense of, you know, he hates death, right? He finds that it's very challenging to look at the idea of death. It is already bitter. But you know what? What is more bitter than death? That's what he's trying to say. And what's more bitter than death is this woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. Okay, and here is the devious woman. So, Book of Proverbs also is all about women. No, it's not about men. Yeah, it's all about women. So, this is a part about Solomon that is not so nice. And the devious woman sets traps, schemes. Okay? Scheming, have traps, fetters to bind the men. Okay? Who can escape her? Okay? If you walk righteously, you can escape her. But if you are a sinner, that's it. You'll be trapped by her. Right? So is this a general idea with reference to women? Or is he referring to a specific woman? Or a specific type of woman? What do you all think? Okay, let's ask the women. Who do you think is he referring to? Why so much bitterness? Right? It seems very bitter, right? I mean, the phrase, "for more bitter than death." Sorry? Well, yeah, probably. It's 1,000 women in his life. 700 wives and 300 concubines. And why? Why is he so bitter? Why? Why this particular type of women? Why? Let's ask the men. Any of y'all trapped by this devious woman? Weihan, well, going to get married soon already. Let's ask him. Is Celine a devious woman?
We can ask other people in the room.
Yeah, the rest all don't seem to be trapped. Well, maybe not yet, lah. Yeah, you can comment about it. It's okay. Don't worry. We won't tell Celine.
No, I don't relate to this person.
Hey, there's a lot of wisdom in it. Hey, you never know after you get married.
I haven't proven it.
Yeah. Okay, what do y'all think? Hey, anybody? Okay, let's ask the women. Why so bitter? Why is he so bitter about it? Why is he so bitter about it? What do you think? Sarah? Hey, you, hold on. Yeah.
Maybe he has a personal experience of...
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. But why? Why is he talking about this?
Is it because it's one of the problems that he struggles with?
Perhaps.
So that like comes to his mind when he thinks of wisdom.
Okay. So the women that he has in his life, this 1,000 women, what are they? Why all these are foreigners, right? They all worship idols. He is mentioned before, you know, in how he loved these strange women. Who are these women? They are. What kind of women are they? Huh? They're adulterous? Well, yeah, they worship idols. See, all these are princes. They're all royalty. They all are political pawns. Okay? It's all politics. There's a lot of politics behind it. And all these women, it's very hard to find one that is righteous. They are all basically political pawns. They're all vying, they're scheming half the time. They are vying for his favor. They are vying. You see, so the women in his life, many of them are political pawns, right? His experience with them is that half the time they are scheming, either for their country, winning favor, and so forth, right? Now, I'm not saying that this is a direct reference, but looking at his background, his experience with this 1,000 women, you know, is not a wonderful experience, right? And, well, he may love them for who they are, but at the end of the day, we realize that, you know, for him to write this tells you that there's this woman in his life that, wow, constantly, you know, trying to scheme. They are scheming. Okay? And that's one of the things about being a woman. Okay, you can use your beauty, your soft voice, you can use it in a way that can be sinful. Okay, so for the ladies, this is just something for you to think about. Sometimes you can use certain things about being a woman and you can deceive, you can abuse it, you can use it as a trap for someone. So be careful. Okay, I'm not saying that you are, but what I'm trying to say is be careful. Don't be very wise in how you use certain things that God has made you with. Because some of them can really abuse it. Some people can be very, very influential. They can use it they scheme. And there are some women that are scheming all the time. Right? Whether it's in politics, whether it is, you know, in the working world. And, you know, it's always good to do that which is right and righteous in God's sight. And then for the men, don't be naive, okay? Not every woman is pure and righteous in God's sight. Please be very careful too. You know, you have to be very wise as you relate with the ladies. You know, and it's always very challenging at times, but the challenge is always to not be blurred or to be naive about it. You are blurred by your feelings. you are deceived by words. Okay? The challenge is you have to be wise too. So it goes both ways. So I think it's a very important thing to raise up. Of course, the way he does it is not the best. But when you please God, when you walk righteously, you will escape her. Run for your life. Flee. Ah, the devious woman. Don't give half the chance. Right? But the sinner, if you are a sinner, you are going to be trapped by her. Whoa. That's challenging. Okay, anything that you want to raise up? Okay, let me go on to the next part and then... So this is something they have found. Then here is what I have found, says the preacher. Adding one thing. So all of a sudden he brings up the word preacher. Okay, you notice he hasn't brought up the word preacher all this while. But now he brings up the word preacher, says the preacher. Okay, here is what I have found, says the preacher. Adding one thing to the other to find out the reason. So he's comparing now. So as a preacher, he's comparing. Okay? He's comparing things together. And as he compares, he's able to ascertain truth. Okay? He's doing a comparison. He adds one to another. Right? Comparing spiritual with spiritual. And that's one of the things we do. Okay? When it comes to understanding things, we compare things. Now, he's comparing. Which my soul still seeks and I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among all these I have not found. Again, you know, it's against the women. 1,000 women. You notice 1,000 women? Right? So he has 1,000 women in his life and he's trying to find a righteous woman among the 1,000 of them. And he could not find one. That's so sad. Right? Partly all of them were scheming, you see? So if you see from the light of the 1,000 women, you notice that actually all the 1,000 women, it's very hard to find one that is righteous. Okay? And all the women probably were scheming and trying to vie for his attention. But a woman among all these I have not found. One man among a thousand I have found. So it's not easy. It's not easy to find a righteous person. That's what he's trying to say. It's not easy to find one who is righteous in God's sight. Okay? And so as a preacher, he mentions the word preacher only a few times. The beginning of the book, in chapter 1 and in verse 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, right? And then another time is in verse 27, and then towards the end of the book in verse chapter 12 and in verse 9, moreover, because the preacher was wise. And so it's a very significant point where he brings up this idea of a preacher, right? He's teaching us very important points. And he's bringing up this point as he compares, as he sees, you know what? It's very hard to find a righteous person. It's not easy to find a righteous man. Then, of course, he's trying to say, you know, even worse, try to find a righteous woman. That's not easy. And, of course, we don't agree with that, lah. Right? It's just his way of writing. Ken? Okay? So what do you all think? What do you think about what he's trying to bring up? Why is he bringing up all these things? Huh? Truly, this only I have found, that God made man upright, which is true, but they have sought out many schemes. See the word scheming? It keeps coming up, right? He has many, many schemes. Okay? whose heart is snares and nets, trapped by her, and then they have sought out many schemes. So this is one of the things that he's trying to bring across in this passage, that sometimes people can be very scheming. Right? We can be scheming. Men can be scheming. We are meant to be upright. God made us in the image of God, in His image. But then men sin along the way, and then we end up scheming. We sin, we lay traps, we scheme. Men scheme. Okay. What do y'all think? Anybody? Beth, what do you think? Well, what do you think about what he just wrote?
I think there's, I guess there's two thoughts that I have. One is that from this, it's obvious that it's a challenge to be righteous.
Yeah.
But also, there's that need to have wisdom because the people around you might not be righteous. And so there's a wisdom that you need to know how to deal with that.
Absolutely. There are a lot of people who... Of course, today is all about, you know, you're trying to get your money, scams, scamming rather than scheming. People are scamming half the time, right? And a lot of people out there who are scamming come up with this scam and so on. Okay? Okay, any question? Mason, how?
I think, like, it's the challenge to be righteous first.
Sure.
Yeah, to do what is upright and to seek not just wisdom, but godly wisdom also.
Mm.
Yeah, and to be wise in...
relationships.
Like, no comments.
No yes, comments.
But that's true, yeah.
No, let's talk about relationships, right? Let's raise up this issue about relationships today. You know, sometimes... you know, these things can be part of the problem when you find someone who has, you know, all kinds of ideas. And it's not easy lah when you find someone who's scheming half the time. Right? So men also can scheme. Men can be very deceiving. Women can be deceiving, men can be very deceiving. Right. Brian, how? I'm going to get married soon. Yeah, you can use the mic.
I mean, I guess as much as you talk about like people who are out to like scheme and who are scheming and contentions and whatnot. I guess so, we also must be conscious not to do ourselves.
Now. Yes.
I mean, regardless of men or women.
Sorry?
Regardless of men or women.
Yeah, you're right. While we want not to be deceived or to be scammed or to be trapped by others, we have to look out for ourselves too. Right? Because we can also end up having all kinds of ideas about how we can have, you know, to do things so that we can have it our way. Right? And that is something that is within us too. Okay? Matthias, how? You have no problems with this.
Really, I need to add. But like, I don't know, do you think he thinks he's that one man?
Well, do you think he is that one man?
Like he thinks he is that one man among a thousand.
Maybe, I don't know. I cannot find. One man among a thousand, I have found. Maybe not. Maybe he's referring to someone. We don't know. Could be. But I think he's referring to someone. Perhaps someone in his life. Maybe he's, I don't know. Nathan. Maybe it's, you know, could be one of the prophets. And so on. The priest then was Zadok, right? Yeah, Zadok. In pastor's devotion from Ezekiel, he was talking about Zadok, how the priest will preside over the third temple, and it's a millennial temple, and it's from the line of Zadok. And he's a righteous one. Could be him. We don't know, right? At the end of the day. Okay, anything else you want to raise up? Yeah. He's referring to Adam. That we were created, that God created man. So you can see that he understands truths. There are some truths that he understands. And he's referring to them, right? That God made man in his image, that man is upright. When we were first created. But then along the way, sin happened. Right? And then he's able to notice, but because of the problem of sin, men have sought out many schemes. So in this sense, he's right in saying that, you know, at the end of the day, his conclusion is right. His conclusion that man is made upright, but then along the way, we have sin, and man is scheming. Right? Both women and men, right? We end up scheming. And it's within us. I think there's this part of us that sometimes we can scheme. Right? We want things to be done in a certain way. We want things done in our advantage. And sometimes we do certain things to make sure that it goes that way. Right? Yeah, so I think it's within all of us. There is a certain amount of sin, and perhaps we have schemed before. Perhaps we have done this before. Perhaps, we have lied, we have deceived, we have said things that may not be true. Right? Okay. Yep. Yeah. Appreciate your honesty. And I think that's something that we all can testify to some extent that that's part of us. And this is actually the wickedness of folly. Part of the idea is, okay, it's a blatant disregard for God. Like, okay, Zimri and Cosby, we studied about that in youth worship last week. And how there was a blatant disregard for God. They actually, you know, did something that was really horrible in the sanctuary, and, you know, Phinehas came, took the javelin, and then thrust through them. So that's very blatant. But within our hearts, we realize that actually sin comes in many, many different forms. And one of them is that we can deceive, we can scheme, we can come out with even an elaborate plan to do things the way we want it to. Okay, and sometimes husband and wife in future, boyfriend and girlfriends, they all scheme against each other. They try to think of ways, okay, I want this to be done in this way. I want this to be done in a certain way. And sometimes people scheme against each other. It's kind of sad, but it's true. So sometimes relationships end up with problems because of that. And so it's within all of us. Okay. It's something that's within us. If we are not careful, it can come up. If we are not careful, we can end up being deceived by others. And so he makes a very good observation here. Of course, I don't totally agree with, you know, just the women, you know, and he... So, okay, you can't blame him also, because all the women he knows is this 1,000 women. And with 1,000 women in his life, He has no time for any
other women, right? These are all his wives and his concubine. The only woman that I feel that perhaps would have been an interesting influence would be the Queen of Sheba, is it? The one who visited him, right? Sheba, right? And the one was, she was finally saved in Matthew, one of the Gospels was mentioned that actually she was saved in the end. She had faith in the Lord. So if there's one woman in his life that I felt would have been a good fit for him, would be the Queen of, maybe, but she maybe got married already by then when she's a queen, right? Okay. Anyway, just something. Okay, any other questions you want to ask? What do you think, Lori? The whole thing that I'm talking about. Absolutely. So you have to fulfill, so that at the end of the day you have to fulfill all righteousness now, right? Your part is to fulfill what you are called to do. You are called to the bar, right? And then you have to, and so the saving grace is that you have to do it legally as much as possible. So this is within the law. So in that sense, the law protects you, and you know, as much as you can within the law. But then, of course, within the law is how you want to interpret the law, is how you want to bring things across. And you have to do it in a way that you don't lie, right? So it's for you to work that out. And if your boss wants you to lie half the time, then look for another boss. So it's at the end of the day, it's your integrity that when it's at stake, when you know, it's for you to understand as a lawyer, as a worker, how much can you go, what, and then of course, you know, you enter into the so-called gray areas, but then of course there's no gray area, whether it's truth, whether it's a lie, that's something that you have to determine for yourself and decide. Right, you have to stand up for what is right. You can't bring across falsehood or untruth in what you say. And so on one hand, you got to please your client, but on the other hand, you have to stand for what is right. You got to find a middle ground, in some ways. Then at the end of the day, you can sleep at night. Right, you can sleep at night, and you can live with yourself. So that's why a lot of times when you do work, sometimes people there's this expression when you work for a company or a firm, sometimes you have to sell your soul. You know, you have to forgo certain things in order to keep your job or to be able to thrive and do well. Sometimes you have to sell your soul, and sometimes that's not the best thing, right? Like in the banks, they pay you well, they pay you, you know what, 10 months bonus, they pay you really, really well, but you know what, you have no time for yourself, no time to come even to church. You really, really have to sell your soul to them. So you have to ask yourself, at the end of the day, how much do I want to give towards my work? Where do I draw the line? And you have to work this out. So like the light of the Word of God has to lead you. The light. So the constantly is always that light from the Word of God, the light from His Word, the light from God that must lead you and guide you. And then you have to make the right decisions. And sometimes you have to stand up for what is right and, you know, live with it. Years ago, I don't know where I told you, there was this guy in SIA, he was a technician, or he was an engineer in SIA many years ago. Of course, it's not today, but many years ago. And Uncle Jacob was telling me about this, how he had this guy, a foreigner, who was asked to, he was, you know, doing statistics, and he was asked to change the number to a more favorable number. Because he was a Christian, he said no. He told his supervisor, I will not do it. And he lost his job because of that. But the guy said at the end, you know what? I have no problem. It's okay. You know, I'd rather stand on truth, on morality, rather than to lie or to deceive. Right? You must always stand on truth. History. Right? It's always you gotta make sure that what you all say is the fact, isn't it? You can't tell that okay, Lee Kuan Yew, he did so many other things. No. It's always based on truth. And if you stand on truth, that's where he will set you free, isn't it? If you go with falsehood half the time, you feel guilt and you have to live with that. And it's a very horrible thing when you have to live with guilt for years and you don't deal with it. So better to deal with within your own heart to do that which is right and true. And then you live a life of joy and hope. You don't have to worry about all these things. These things don't click you. But then you live with something and then, you know, you gain something with reference to the world, but within your own heart, you live with the guilt. You live with, I lied, and then I can't change it. And you have to live with that for the rest of your life. It's worse. Right? It's always better to live with truth. You know, my dad told me, one thing like my dad taught me, my dad actually never teach me a lot of things. I tell you first. My dad had no time to teach. At times, he disciplined, he loved us, of course. But he was such a busy man. He was a policeman. He was a water polo coach. I mean, half the time he was preoccupied. But one thing he taught me was, don't lie. Don't ever lie. And I had 3 stripes from him. I tell you the story about how my brother and I, we deceived my tuition, Chinese tuition teacher. Did I tell you the story? So when we were primary 2 or primary 3, we were supposed to go do things here, right? And we never studied for it, both of us. And we all failed. 0, 0, 0, 0. And then we never told. So every week, the teacher passed up, I have to get my father to sign. So we forged our father's signature. And that went on for a few months. We were very happy. It went on for a few months. Until my Chinese tuition teacher asked us, how come you all don't have things here? Show me your book. Because she know that there's a book. Show me your book. And then when we show it to her, all 0, 0, 0. Oh, she was so angry. Went to my father and told my father. And my father was so upset. So he asked me, what happened? Then we all tried to come up with a lie. Wow, he took the cane, he whacked us 3 times. 3 stripes. Sergeant. I became a sergeant that day. And after that, wow, we were crying. And that was the time I really hated my Chinese teacher. What's the word? Pao pao to. She pao to us. I hated my Chinese. From then, I hated Chinese. And well, my so we were crying. I still remember we were crying in the room. And then my father came in after that. He said, so he tried to comfort us, and he was saying, you know why I scared you? He said, it's not because you are bad at Chinese. Wow, thank God. It's because you lied. Yeah, I still remember that. You know, because you lied. And I never forgot that. And then from that day onwards, I never lied to him. I never lied to him. And that was something I remembered for the rest of my life. Right? And so, don't scheme. The best thing to do is always go with truth. When you go with truth, that will stand you in good stead. You are a person of integrity, and people will know. People will know whether it's truth or not. You look at today's newspaper, you know, the last few weeks, people have been scheming, people have been trying to deceive, people have been stealing, people have been covering up. You know, they take this amount of money and then they think they can get away with it. Again and again. And, you know, people repeat the same problem again and again and again and again. 20, 30 years ago, I read newspaper of people stealing from this company. And then after that, they go to jail. And then till today, people still do the same thing. Right? If you don't have the money, then live within your means. Don't overkill yourself. Right? Even also this high flux. Right? You know high flux? The water, the seas, salination company. It was one of the blue eye companies, you know, one of the babies, star, you know, companies of Singapore. They did really well, but they did a very bad mistake. When they bidded for to SP, water, you know, PUB, they wanted to bid for it, they underbid by a lot. They won the contract, but they realized they are losing money if they were to carry on with this. So they tried to cover it up, they tried to do something else. They tried to go into electricity. And then they did all kinds of things, right? And then finally, they were caught. They couldn't sustain, the whole thing collapsed. And they were sued, is it? I think they were sued. And now they're all gone. This famous lady who was a blue-eyed lady, right? What's the lady's name? Olivia something, huh? Olivia Munt or Olivia Lam or something. Now she's, you know, going to face jail time and so on and so forth. Right? So, sometimes we think that we can get away with it. Sometimes we think that the truth will not come out. But then at the end of the day, truth always comes up to the surface at the end of the day. And sometimes the better thing to do is to always stand on truth, to go with truth, to be a person of integrity. Then you are consistent throughout your whole life. People can see that. If you are sacked because of you are someone who stand on truth, so be it. That's fine. Then go to another place where you can stand on truth. Right? Okay? And I think that's something that, you know, it'll be good if we can truly seek to be this righteous man. This one righteous man out of 1,000. And there are very, very few righteous people out in the world. In the working world, you realize a lot of people are scheming, people trying to do things in a certain way. Sometimes it's doing politics. Have you experienced that? Politics? At work? Yeah. There's always politics at work. And, I mean, they will always try to either put you down or they are scheming and so on and so forth. But it doesn't matter. You do your part. You live for the Lord, right? When you live for the Lord, then the Lord will always bless where you are. When I was in the Air Force, you had all these people trying to, you know, gain the upper hand, For me, it was just living for the Lord. It was just honoring Him. And the best thing that came along the way was that my big boss was a Christian. And he knew I was a Christian, and that's it. I just worked really hard for him. He gave me all the opportunities, and I'm very thankful. Right? Sometimes I would talk to him, and he would kind of ask me, you know, Mitch, what do you think? Every Sunday, we all go to church, but we all work so hard during the week. Does God expect us to go to Sunday to... You know, Sunday should be a rest day, right? Sunday is a rest day. And why does God expect us to go to church? You know, oh, he asked me questions like that. Huh? During work, while I'm trying to sort out something. Okay, then I would, of course, the boss. So you got to talk to the boss and tell him, oh, sir, you know, the Bible tells us that this is what it is. You know, we should set aside one day of the week to worship the Lord and honor Him. Oh, yeah, but I'm so tired. Then someone come along and say, oh, sir, can I? Then he say, hey, I'm talking to Mitch. Don't disturb us. It's some urgent thing for operation, but he wants to talk about, you know, Christian things. I say, okay. Oh. That's my privilege. So, very fun, you know. Then he ask me all kind of questions, all the blues. He say, what do you think, Mitch, you know, about you know, all these pastors, some of them, you know, during time there were some pastors that was not good. Yeah, why the pastor like that, you know, and all of a sudden I'm the one, I mean, I'm just a junior pilot, and then all of a sudden I'm supposed to be an expert in the Bible, and he's a funny guy. But he gave me all the opportunities. I worked hard for him. I really worked hard, and you know, but then along the way he gave me all the opportunities, which I was thankful. Right? Okay, anything that you want to raise? How? What do you think, Audrey? Are you a scheming woman?
I hope not.
Yeah, what do you think of today's lesson? This is only here.
I think everyone said it.
Huh?
I think everyone else said it.
Yeah. Sure.
Share similar thoughts of the challenge to then make sure to guard yourself.
Yeah.
To make sure to
absolutely.
I think like what I think what comes to mind is someone.
Okay. Sure.
To seek righteousness.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? To not mix with the wrong company of people. To delight in God's word and to meditate on it, to be the righteous man, right? That the Lord will prosper you. Okay, anything else? Anyone wants to raise up? Yes, Rehan. You want to say something?
How I read the verses in 27-29, he's saying like, this is what I found.
Yeah.
Trying to find out the reason, but he's still struggling. He's so trying to seek for this reason to a question. And the question seems to be, like you said just now, he wants to know, the pious heart to know, to search out, seek out the reason for wickedness, for foolishness, for madness.
Yeah.
And he doesn't find an answer that satisfies his soul. He says, my soul seeks, I can't find.
Yeah.
What he has found truly, this only thing he has found, is that...
So that's the final conclusion, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's his final conclusion.
I guess my questions are like, why is this... I'm trying to understand his grappling with this question of like, evil. Why is he trying so hard? Like, why is there a soul, a need in the soul to understand the reason for falling?
Imagine every day when you go home, there's one woman screaming. Next day, you go to another place, another woman is screaming. You go to another place, you see the same old screaming woman. How do you feel?
I want to go to the fourth one.
But you got 1,000 other women. You got another 997 women to go to. How would you feel?
Actually, the fact that he had this romance because he himself was clean.
Sure, definitely.
Obviously, he wanted to enter the peaceful insurance because he wanted to benefit from
life. Yeah, but it's a political alignment. Yeah.
He said he wanted to say
yes.
Huh?
That's why he's wise. So called wise. But, I mean, he is grappling with it. He's really grappling with this issue that's at hand. Sure, he's not finding the total answer, but at least he knows that God made man upright, but then men have sinned, and then there will always be these people who will steal. Right? So he's grappling with it, and yet, truly, you see the word, he adds the word truly. This is a truth. The rest are all conclusions, but he ends on the truth, which is right. Right? And I think we all can understand that. We all understand, yes, God made us in the image, and we want to be in the image of God, right? We want to walk righteously. But then we all struggle. We struggle with this sinful nature that though it is no longer has a power over us, its long chains are still there. And we still struggle with it. Can you see? There was once pastor described what sin is to us that we struggle with after we have been saved. It's like a dog with a long chain. So the dog, when the fellow comes at the gate, he runs in to the door. He thinks he's free. But the chain is very long. So he reaches there. Then he realizes, I'm still bound by it. I thought it was a very, this scripture of what sin is like. Sometimes we think we are free from it, but actually, we're still bounded by it. So he's explaining how sin will always be there. That is something we will struggle with. And I think we will struggle with this for the rest of our life. Right? Okay? Okay, that'll be... Anything else? Anybody wants to raise up?
Ask everyone. Chloe, anything you want to say? Okay, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time that we can be honest before you, that we can recognize that we are sinful too, that there are times when we can scheme, we can come up with all kinds of ways and means to fulfill our selfish goals. We pray, dear Lord, that you will forgive us of our sins. Pray, dear Lord, that you will teach us to be wise, to not allow ourselves to be naive and to be deceived by scheming people, but that at the same time help us to live righteously, that we do not fall into such things. We pray, dear Lord, that you will teach us to humbly admit that we need so much more wisdom, and help us, Lord, through your grace to live righteously. We ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.